It's Nicole Court for 88.5 Live at Home, and I'm happy to say it's been a couple of years since we last saw these guys, but through the miracles of technology, via Zoom, it's Rodrigo and Gabriela. Great to see you guys.
Hello,
great
Nick.
How
are you doing?
So you've got this new EP that we're going to talk a little bit about, and you've also done a performance of a couple of songs that we're going to watch in a few moments as well. But let's catch up a little bit. Last time we saw you was in the middle of your last big US tour about 2 years ago. And then, like the rest of the world, you've been stuck at home. I've seen you putting up a lot of footage. You were doing a lot of Instagram shows as well at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about the beginning of the pandemic for you guys and how you had to pivot and, you know, shift your plans for the year.
Yes. Do you want to start?
Well, it was the year 2020, right? So we were... The last time we kind of got into the normal world, we were in the States. I think we were in Houston, and we were about to start our tour after we won the Grammy because we were so over the moon. So
yeah.
We got lucky that we went to the Grammys and we got a Grammy, and then we supposed to be on tour for that year like crazy because everything was very busy for us, and it looked like it was going to be super crazy hectic year. So we were happy, and we were in Houston, and we were about to come back to Mexico to play at festivals and a theater in Mexico City. After a few years, we didn't play in Mexico for a long time, so our fans here were so happy and all of that. And all of a sudden, we learned that we're not going to go anywhere. So we came back to our studio here in Mexico, which is not in Mexico City. It's in the Pacific Coast. And so we were just, as usual, we always go to the guitars when we feel like a little unbalanced. And it felt very weird for us. It felt very weird, uncertain, and all of that. And so one day, I think the next day, we were supposed to play in Mexico City. That morning, I came by the studio because I saw Rod was here. And I came from running, and I came back like all sweats and all of this. And Rod convinced me to let's play one tune and post it right now. And I was just like, yes, that's the right thing to do. And me and Rodrigo, we never, before this, we were not good doing those type of things. Never. We never wanted to do that. But on that day, everything changed, so he convinced me. And we, from that day, we start posting every single day one tune. And we didn't, like, it was just like crazy, right? We were so busy here.
you were doing some covers. I remember a Midnight Oil cover. I'm a big fan
of
that
right.
band. And just throw out some of the other covers that you did during those first few months.
We did Billie Eilish, Bad Guy. We did
Moondance,
Van Morrison. We did... well, we played for the first time in many years Stairway to Heaven, which obviously is a cover within the first album. But we never, I mean, after the album that was released, actually we stopped playing it because we were like, and we had been playing that like for years before the actual album was recorded. But we put it out as well. We did many. This guy, what's his name? The Blinding Lights guy?
The Blinding Lights, yeah, all of that. It was like Dua Lipa.
The Weeknd,
The Weeknd.
Yeah. And like loads.
It was from all eras because it was like 60 covers.
So was that fun for you guys to do? I mean, obviously it was in the moment that you were just playing in the moment and just putting it over the internet. It's not like you can release those songs, I guess. From that experience and having that direct connection with your fans, how did that feel? Because obviously you were supposed to be on tour and, you know, seeing them in person, but seeing them on Instagram, what was that like being able to at least connect with your fans while everybody was really kind of wondering, you know, how the world was going to change and how we were all going to get back to live music at some point?
It was great because, as Gabriela mentioned before, we weren't good at it. We're still not very good at it, but it's not our generation. Certainly it helped us to reintroduce ourselves personally. We not only did these videos on Instagram and YouTube, but we learned a lot of other platforms that were out there that actually made us connect even more. We kind of felt like it was totally unnatural, at least for me, to do these things. But we learned about Patreon. So like you can actually like have like meetings with, you know, with your few patrons, that, and then we explore that, and we have a very beautiful community in Patreon as well. And that all came just because we felt like for the first time this real kind of connection that it was needed, especially on those first months of the pandemic. And then and now then it kind of overwhelmed us in a way, and we had to ask some great people that we kind of had met before to help us out with all this, because to manage all these media outlets, either you play music or just take care of your Instagram.
You either play music or you spend all day doing
exactly
social media.
So now we have a great team doing all that, and it's great.
We should point out, for those who don't know, that Patreon is a website where you can sign up and directly support the artists that you want to support. You know, a monthly fee gets you access to material that you can't see anywhere else. So for those of you who are listening or watching right now, check them out. You're still on Patreon, obviously.
Yes, right? We're still on Patreon, and now we are in that new platform, YouTube. It's very similar to Patreon, but with some differences. But YouTube opens something else, so it's great. Yeah.
So like most people, musicians, artists, or otherwise, in the middle of 2020, we're all adapting and pivoting and trying to figure out how we're going to support ourselves and pay our bills and have our careers, whether somebody who is a musician or just anybody for that matter. We were all really in the same boat, weren't we, trying to figure out what was next. As you were in the middle of that and obviously deciding you wanted to keep in touch with your fans, did you start to think about new music to record? How did we get to the jazz EP, which is what we're going to be talking about today?
Well, in the middle of all of that, it was for us very important to mostly, we didn't really think too much about the uncertainty of the economic part of it. It was more like an emotional uncertainty, and we felt people were also going into like, what is going on? The aliens are coming or something. Like, it felt so unreal, you know, it just really did. So at that time for us was like, music is what the musicians did at the Titanic when the Titanic was shrinking. So to me it was like, we need to keep playing, because this is like, I think music has a powerful energy that it can uplift you and uplift us. And we also share one of our mantras that is, trust the process. That is something like, even if you are in the midst of this craziness, you need to trust something. And if you stay in this good energy with the music, something, you can pick on something that is going to bring you to a different reality. You can create another type of reality, or at least on the inside, you will be more peaceful, you know, not so much reactive to what is happening outside. So we were on that mission, and it was very important for us to connect with our fans and also with the music. So we were writing music, but also when we were not writing music, we just for fun, we were just doing all of these covers that it kept us busy, because it was just to arrange all those covers on two acoustic guitars. It was like a game. It was like, let's see, how can we pull this one? Like, you know, and so for the jazz EP, we never thought about a jazz EP, because we are musicians and we think about oh, this track is amazing. Way maybe we can start playing and having a little bit of fun. And that's how we started with the Snarky Puppy, and then with the Kamasi's track, that's the Street Fighter Mask, and with the two guitars. And then we started the recording, and it was almost like very unofficial, like it was just for fun, like
yes,
a lot of
it
demos.
It wasn't planned at all.
Like all the demos we do here. The Oblivion one, it is different because we played Oblivion in the past with other musicians, and that was unfinished. And we decided to finish that, close that one on the pandemics, but we have extra time. So for the Kamasi and Snarky, it started as a play, like a fun play, and just see what happens. And then the record labels, which are the ones who think on those terms of jazz EP, were the ones who spotted those two and said, let's bring this three as a jazz EP. And they had to convince us, because that's part of the whole situation, you know, because me and Rod, we don't think that way, you know. So they convinced us, and then here we are.
the other song that you refer to is the Astor Piazzolla track.
That's right.
Oblivion. So you put the three of them together onto the jazz EP. I know you've done a performance for us where you've combined two of those songs, and we're going to bring that in now and watch it, and then come back and talk a little bit more. But tell us about the performance we're about to see in the two songs.
Yes, we're going to present these two tracks, which one of them is an old, familiar, well-known track that a lot of our fans know, which is called Diablo Rojo, which is the second track in the first album we put out in 2006. And which was actually one of the tracks that opened the doors for us in the States, because that was the track that we played with David Letterman and all those, you know, shows back in the day. And then we decided during the pandemic, we've been just mixing and doing some of this live streaming shows. And we throw there in the middle the Kamasi's Washington Street Fighter Mask, so it's a little bit of a mix up there. But there you go, that's what we're gonna listen to.
All right, so let's listen to that and watch that. It's Nick Harcourt with Rodrigo y Gabriela, and it's 88.5 Live at Home. Thank you. coming back with Rodrigo y Gabriela for 88.5 Live at Home. Nick Harcourt, so happy to see these guys. They just performed a couple of tunes for us as well. The Jazz EP is out. That's the latest from you guys. I know it's digital as well, but I was told that you've got it on some very limited edition orange vinyl as well. So for any super fans, well, first of all, are there any left? And if they are, where do they get it?
Well, they should. I mean, they must get it in the usual vinyl record stores.
Got it.
And it's only 3,000. So, and,
be quick.
And I heard, yeah.
So you guys, ever since I first met you on that first album, obviously, you've been relentlessly touring the world, taking breaks, obviously, to make records, but you've traveled a lot. What was it like to stop?
I mean, we probably have different answers to that, but if you want to start,
to me, it was good. It was good. It's been 20 years, and I feel sorry that it had to be this way, because for all the suffering that went going on and the awful things, but it was good to have a little moment, you know, because I don't remember a time 20 years ago. It's been on the road all the time, and I don't remember a time where we spent more than 3 or 4 months in one place. So it was just like crazy. Now I'm like, I want to get back out.
Yes. Rodrigo, yeah, what about you?
For me, I mean, I agree with Gab, but no, I would add to it that I think it was very much necessary, not only to expand in our creativity, because we've been writing now the new album. We had a time to do that and to grow within what we do, our profession. But personally, sorry it was this way, it's the same. But I think it just suits me. I mean, it suited me so good. I think I needed that break, and to be at home and to you know, to be more aware of you know, of many things. Yeah.
So I know that you're going to be on the road later on this year. There's a tour just been announced for the fall. And I'm looking at the lineup here, and I don't see Los Angeles, but I do see dates in Santa Barbara and Anaheim. And then I was just told this morning that there is a date in Los Angeles.
Yes.
That's going to be at the Ford Theater, formerly known as the John Anson Ford Amphitheater.
That's right.
Fabulous venue. Amazing.
Yeah, beautiful.
Venue.
We played it before once.
Yeah. So looking forward to seeing you a little bit later on this year. Are you working on new material for a new album?
Yes. It's actually almost finished. I mean, not the official recording, but the writing. It's almost finished, almost done.
We demoed most of the pieces,
and hopefully we start recording the album once the tour is finished, so in December. Yeah.
Okay, so you're looking forward to getting back on the road and sort of picking up the pieces of that life?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, actually, we are. It feels a little scared, because it's 7 weeks with nonstop. So that's the first length.
It's going to be a little bit of a shock to the system at first. Have you traveled anywhere at all in the last year?
No.
Mexico. Yes, I went to the States.
Right.
And to fix some papers, and then I came back, and then I went to Mexico City and some places here in Mexico. But even like going outside, like 1 hour away from here, 2 hours away from here, I was like, oh great, I'm lovely. Let's get out.
yes. I went down with my partner Kita, who you've met. We went down to San Diego, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and it felt like I'd gone to a whole different world. Just 2 hours away.
2 hours away.
That's crazy. Yeah?
Let's go to San Diego.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you back in the States in the fall,
thank
and
you,
obviously in Los Angeles as well at the Ford Theater, and hopefully we'll get to see you. Maybe we can get a live session.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Hopefully we can get something together.
I would love to do that. Thank you so much for taking a minute.
Thank you.
Thanks for all the years and the support you have really given us. We're very grateful. to you.
It's been my absolute pleasure. I'm a fan.
No, so, man, but it's true. Every time we get like some requests, even you know, sometimes we're so tired. So like, can we just get a break? But when we know it's you, we always say like, well.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love you guys. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, listen,
good luck with the jazz EP. We are playing Kamasi Washington piece on the air and on the show.
That's
so we'll see you later in the year.
Yes, see you later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Bye. Thanks.